Welcome to the Damage Report. I am so excited to be here today. Though John has the day off to do wedding things. I'm here with Francesca Fiorentini.
Hey.
Oh, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Happy almost Tofurkey Day.
Exactly. Do you do Tofurkey? What's your Thanksgiving?
I mean anything to troll the conservatives, right? I don't know. I think I will just have like the skin of a turkey, fake skin, and then open it up and it's nothing but Brussels sprouts.
Right, and hope.
Yeah.
Positivity.
Yeah, exactly.
We have some clips later on in the show from Emma's trip to 45 Fest.
Oh, God.
Emma Vigeland went to 45 Fest, and she talked, as she is wont to do, she is outside those events, and she talks to Trump supporters. And if you thought the previous 10 were good, this is amazing.
I don't know where she goes in her mind to find peace.
Yes, exactly.
Like, what song is playing in her head?
Just to keep her from going, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, we have some amazing clips from that. Though I did read earlier that he brought up during his rally that the liberals want to change the name of Thanksgiving to something else because war on Christmas, because repeat same things you've heard for 10 years about liberals. So rough. But we have a lot more on the show today. We're going to keep it light in the end of the show. The beginning of the show is going to be pretty serious, though equally ridiculous. We have Rudy Giuliani, as in Trump goes, I don't know this man. And I did not send him to Ukraine, though we have evidence that that is absolutely false. Mayor Pete has responded to the Mayor Pete Buttigieg is a lying MF-er that was trending yesterday due to he actually called the person who wrote that, and we have a report of what he said afterwards. And then Melania got booed. Devin Nunes Cow has made a development in terms of what's going on in that ongoing legal struggle. And Papa John, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to close out our week. And then don't worry, you will still get Damage Report throughout the rest of this week. It's just pre-shot specials.
Ooh.
Best ofs, that kind of stuff. So don't worry, you will be able to hang out with John on Thanksgiving, even though he chooses, through utter selfishness, to do like wedding stuff without you today.
Yeah, he chooses to spend the last Thanksgiving as a free man. Maybe he's not even gonna be with his soon-to-be married family. He's just gonna be off. What if that was your bachelorette or bachelor? Like, just spending Thanksgiving with someone else's family. Because it's the last time you could do that. Just while out, you know?
Take advantage, because you will be forced in the future.
Yeah.
All I know is I think he's doing like wedding party stuff, and I'm here.
Wow.
And I thought we were friends, bro. All I gotta say.
You should give him something borrowed.
Yeah.
Something blue and borrowed.
Well, blue, it's me not getting invited to whatever fun night he's got. Aww. Though I think it is an 8-hour board game. Not even kidding. Would you be kind of interested maybe in an 8-hour board game? And I said, if I can drink. anyway, we're burning time here, so let's get right into it with this first story. So Donald Trump seems to have started the process of throwing Rudy Giuliani under the bus, if not just subtly, just distancing himself from Rudy. President Donald Trump appeared to hang his personal lawyer out to dry, reports the Daily Beast. In an interview with former Fox News host Bill O'Reilly on Tuesday night, who somehow still has a show, insisting that Rudy Giuliani's push for a Biden investigation in Ukraine was not done on his behalf, and noting that Giuliani, quote, has other clients. We have a clip that Ari played on his show yesterday. Let's take a listen.
What was Rudy Giuliani doing in Ukraine on your behalf?
Well, you have to ask that to Rudy, but Rudy, I don't even know. I know he was going to go to Ukraine, and I think he canceled the trip. But you know, Rudy has other clients other than me. I'm one.
So you didn't direct him to go there on your behalf?
He said, no, I didn't direct him. Here's another amazing quote that followed right after that. No, I didn't direct him, but he's a warrior. Rudy's a warrior. There you have it. What is your take on this?
I mean, my take is this all ends with Trump disowning himself. Like, we know Trump talks about himself in the third person already. Like, Donald Trump participated in no collusion. Donald J. Trump is the strongest and fittest president. And so when it comes down to this impeachment hearing, right, he will be, if he's called before, if he appears, or even if he doesn't, he's just like, no idea who this Donald J. Trump is. Never heard of him, right?
It's like, true, because like that's
no
the
relation.
Move. So we, for speaking of like these best of specials, like the most ridiculous moments of the year, we had to go through and find the most ridiculous moments of the year, and they're all like,
I'm sorry,
thank you. It's been really rough, but they're all like this week, right. And that's because that's the strategy. Is Trump wants to drive you crazy and gaslight you, so everything gets more and more ridiculous. Right. So if you need to look for the most ridiculous things that happened this year, you just have to look to the most recent thing.
Yeah.
And as he does these crazy, makes these crazy statements, that I would not put it past him.
It's the same strategy, though, that he takes, not just with his corruption and the crimes and trying to cover it up, which we know and we'll go, there's evidence that he did in the phone call talk about Zelensky speaking with Rudy Giuliani.
Yes, he says this is from the July 25th call memo, which I think we forget about in the wake of all this background information that's coming out through like the impeachment hearing. The impeachment hearings is the background. This was the main event where he said in the call memo, Rudy very much knows what's happening and he is a very capable guy. If you could speak to him, that would be great.
I meant Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Merry Christmas. We're reclaiming it. Like,
it's,
oh, that Rudy? No relation. Like, what?
Here is a headline from an article, May 9th, 2019. And everyone should read this. It's Rudy Giuliani plans Ukraine trip to push for inquiries that could help Trump. That is what Trump was talking about in terms of the trip that was planned. This was canceled, but this was May 9th. And if you go back and read this, which I highly recommend you do, it says stuff like Rudy Giuliani starting to look into the new, like Joe Biden got into the race on April 25th and suddenly Joe Biden got in on April 25th and suddenly he's on everybody's lips.
Right. I mean, I was just going to say that warrior comment reminded me of the way Trump not only deals with corruption, but deals with any act of violence or any white supremacist who does something in his name. Mm-hmm. He's sort of like really no idea who he is, but like good work,
right.
Good stuff. He's not wrong. Well, I don't know. Who is this David Duke guy? And like that guy, I can't control my fans, essentially.
That's
what he's saying with Rudy. I can't control my fans.
Yeah. They are very smart to be my fans.
Right.
And on the off chance that there is a legal responsibility I have not to inspire people directly to violence, I just will disavow that I did that one thing, that I did say the magic words, abracadabra, go beat someone up. You know, like that's it. But like in that article where he does talk about, you see like Igor Fruman's in that article, right. Lev Parnas is in that article, all those things. Rudy Giuliani, to rebut the thing that Trump said, saying that he has other clients, this is from that. Rudy Giuliani tells the New York Times, my only client is the president of the United States. He's the one that I have an obligation to report to, tell him what happened. So in that, Trump's main point was he's got a lot of clients, he's going to Ukraine for a bunch of different stuff. Giuliani says, no, I have the one client.
And yet, and this is sort of like a hanging thread that I have from this entire story, but you're like, obviously we need to simplify it, and it is pretty darn simple. But Giuliani's actually not being paid by Trump, like directly. He was being paid by Lev and Igor. And like they gave him what, $500,000 or something like this? Like, so I'm still unclear, like could Trump claim that, you know, I don't know, he was working, you know, I guess he was just a big fan. Like,
right.
Once again, like I didn't actually pay him, you know, he's just committed.
But that's how far off from the through line we get.
It's a volunteer.
Like, it's a volunteer. It's, and it's also like—
He's an intern.
Yeah, he's an unpaid, we're giving him college credit. But it's just like the nonsense of it all.
It,
like the vast, like, fog of the grift.
Yes.
Might be their saving grace.
Yeah.
But I hope not, because we have in this big conversation, the I need you to do me a favor, though, and the quid pro quo of all that, not to mention the timeline that when you're talking about withholding all this military aid, mm-hmm. Trump okayed military aid until it seems around April 25th when Joe Biden starts getting in the race and becomes the front runner. And then I heard someone on CNN this morning go like, dude, I used to cover a bunch of like mob bosses. And if you're asking for Trump to say like, I need you extortion, bribe, they don't do that. They right. say, I need you to do us a favor.
Sure. Though. Anyways. It would be a shame if something happened to your little country.
And we leave you with this, speaking of little country. Mm. Donald Trump tweeted this today. I don't know if you've seen photos of Donald Trump. He doesn't look quite like that. But he tweeted that image of himself as Rocky the boxer, I want to say, looking distant. And like he's been hit in the face one too many times. But like he tweeted that out himself.
Yeah, they have the same brain damage. I get it.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Mayor Pete responds to the allegations that he is a, quote, lying MF. We'll be back. We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Well, I reached out to the author, and while I think that some of the characterization of me personally is unfair, I do understand the concern.
That is Mayor Pete Buttigieg referencing the fallout, essentially, from a piece that was written in The Root by Michael Harriet, and that piece created a trending Twitter hashtag, and the title of it was Pete Buttigieg, as you can see from this headline, is a lying MF. And just to give you an idea, this is a response to something that Pete Buttigieg said in 2011 when he was running for mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and that resurfaced. To refresh your memory, we'll play it for you right now. Take a look.
You know, the kids need to see evidence that education's going to work for them, right?
There you go.
So you see a lot of parts of
town.
That's
part of the motivation.
Yeah, because you're motivated because you believe that at the end of your educational process, there's a reward, there's a stable life, there's a job. And there are a lot of kids, especially the lower income minority neighborhoods, who literally just haven't seen it work. There isn't somebody they know personally
and I think that's
who testifies to the value of education. So, yeah.
So that's what he kind of, that is, he said a lot more, but that part is essentially the heart of it, which is, listen, these black kids just don't have someone who succeeded due to education, so they don't know the value of it.
Super coded, though, like very coded in like Democratic line politics.
You know, absolutely. Like
Republicans would probably say African Americans, you know,
yeah.
In that way.
That was the best someone who knows nothing about it could muster in 2011,
yeah.
It seemed. And this was before. So we showed you the headline. Here's a little taste of what Michael Harriet wrote in his piece. He said majority minority schools received $23 billion less in funding than majority white schools, according to a recent study in EdBuild. Mayor Pete's bull essay is not just wrong, it is proof. It proves men like him are more willing to perpetuate the fantastic narrative of Negro neighborhoods needing more role models and briefcase carriers that make the people in power stare into the sun and see the blinding light of racism. Get along moderates would rather make stuff up out of whole cloth than wade into the waters of reality. Pete Buttigieg doesn't want to change anything. He just wants to be something.
Ooh.
And I talked to someone who talked to someone who saw him on the campaign trail, and that's what they said. They said, oh, this guy just wants it so bad.
Get along moderates is brilliant. I love that turn of phrase. I just look at his demeanor. Yeah. Look at his face, just the way that he's got sort of a poo-eating grin,
yeah.
If I can say that.
Yes, you like, can. As I said, bull-essery.
Well, S-eating grin is almost less gross than poo-eating grin,
it's
but
true.
I'm going to go with poo-eating grin because it's safe for the radio and
yep.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you can see him and you're like, you are nothing but an algorithm come to life. We know that in your memoirs, you referred to students standing in solidarity with janitorial workers as SJWs. That's mm-hmm. what they were to Pete Buttigieg as he was walking past them onward to like the presidency and the White House. Like, really?
Yeah.
Man, you don't understand what it is like to fight for something. You don't know what it's like to be a low income African American kid trying to actually get ahead. Or struggle. You don't know struggle. That's
yeah.
all. And it's fine. You can say you don't know struggle, but like kind of just put that on the table a little bit, you know?
Right.
And I feel like he'd go so much farther if he did that.
Well, and there's more. I'll give you, I totally understand what you're saying about Pete Buttigieg, you know?
Smile more.
And, you know, I personally, when I wade through my shared experience with you, I see what a lot of people don't really see. Which is, a gulf between us. I think I'm just trying to bridge.
Ugh.
And I don't know how. And that's how he talks.
Yeah.
And never before have I seen anyone benefit more, besides maybe John Edwards, from this fact. The first two states are Iowa and New Hampshire. But more specifically, the first state is Iowa.
Yep.
That you'll see it. I want to play for you part of Mayor Pete's response to being called a lion MF-er. Here's the first portion of it. Take a look.
What I said in that comment before I became mayor does not reflect the totality of my understanding then and certainly now about the obstacles that students of color face in our system today. I believe I was speaking about the need for mentorship and the need for career pathways. But the problem is, to the extent that that feels like it's validating a narrative that sometimes blames the victim for the consequences of systemic racism. I understand why he was upset, and I understand the perspective and largely agree.
What's your reaction to seeing him speak like that and that being his response?
I mean, he's just so well-spoken. He's just so calm. Yeah. He admitted he made a mistake, maybe. He
yeah.
misspoke. What's your plan, though?
What's your plan?
Like, what are you actually actively doing in your own 100,000-person town, right? Mm-hmm. Your small little town. Like, how are you combating institutionalized racism? Because I don't think you're doing a very good job. And I think the black folks of South Bend would agree.
Right. Thanksgiving's coming up. And it's usually like if you go, you see how someone's own, like, house works, and if their family is like, I hate this guy. Like, that's what it seems like in South Bend, where like the place he's from, the black community there,
mm-hmm.
Jonathan Larson went there to South Bend and just, I mean, as Jake puts it, like, asked around little bit. Yeah. And everyone was like, how much time do you have? Because, and you need to go to TYT.com, look at the TYT Investigate stories by Jonathan Larson, where he just chronicles what people told him.
Nice.
And the things like in terms of what happened with the police commissioner who was fired initially because other people were being racist and he brought consequences to them. And suddenly they fire the black commissioner because it was easy. Who knows why? Mayor Pete still won't like out with it in terms of what happened. Mm-hmm. But there is more that we have from Mayor Pete. He actually had a phone call with Michael Harriet, as he mentioned in that first clip we played for you. Here's how he describes what happened in that conversation.
He expressed what he expressed in the article and went into a lot more depth about, I think, the concern of this perspective that makes it sound like, it's all the fault of students of color or somehow their families that they struggle to get ahead, when the reality is there are so many barriers that our system puts up. And I want to make sure I communicated that I'm very conscious of the advantages and privileges that I have had, not through any great wealth, but certainly through education, through the advantages that come with being white and being male. And that's part of why I know I've got to make myself useful as a candidate and as president.
So these are like, it's tough, mm-hmm, because these sound vaguely like the right thing to say. The same way that in 2011, when he was talking during that debate on TV, like those things were the right thing to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think it's so interesting to talk about racism and Pete Buttigieg, because ultimately this is a candidate whose entire campaign is thanks to white privilege, white male privilege. I've said it here and I will say it again. There are far more qualified women, far more qualified people of color, people who are senators, hello, people who have had way more responsibility than being the mayor of a small town. And Pete started a PAC, right? He was going to raise all this money for Democratic candidates. Turns out all that money went to him and inflating his image. So wow, the things that you can accomplish when you're a white dude who's got tons of money just sort of inflating a little logo. He's like the startup of presidential candidates. Sorry, Andrew Yang.
I want to go to the last two graphics that we have. And this is from Michael Harry, who actually wrote a piece as a response. It was basically what happened on the phone call. He called me, here's what happened. He says, as I told the mayor, the article wasn't meant to inspire outrage. Its purpose was to make a necessary point about black voters and real issues. There's no way that I can know if he is genuinely interested in engaging black voters, attacking discrimination, or crossing the racial divide. He says essentially that he saw a lot of white people come in, white candidates come into barbershops, and he's like, yeah, they show up, but I don't know. He then follows to say, the only thing I can actually know about Pete is that he is a white man. But Pete Buttigieg listened, which is all you can ask a white man to do, unless, of course, he wants to fight. So we'll leave it there. We got more show after this. Don't go away. If you haven't watched any of Emma Vigeland's videos on Rebel HQ, where she goes to Trump events and talks to the people there, you need to. And to entice you to do precisely that, I'm gonna show you some videos from her trip to 45 Fest, which is a Florida rally thrown by Donald Trump yesterday, I believe it was. And she's put the full videos up on Rebel HQ. We're just gonna play them right now and react to them. First, this one is someone has seen through all of the ruses out there, and he knows the truth as to why Donald Trump might seem corrupt. Take a look.
I think President Trump is, in fact, a stable genius, and he's demonstrating it right now. He's baited the Democrats into a trap, and they've fallen for it. These investigations would not have occurred if he wouldn't have got the Democrats to look into him, and that's exactly what's going on. So he is rooting out corruption by making himself seem corrupt, but he's not actually corrupt.
Well, so you're saying it's kind of a three-dimensional chess situation where he's playing the Democrats by them moving forward with impeachment?
Exactly, and they took the bait.
How so?
They're investigating him, and they're just finding corrupt Democrats, not Republicans.
Who?
I don't want to comment on that because, like I said, I'm not fully informed on everything that's been going on in the proceedings, but the Bidens are definitely coming under some heat for this.
this dude. There's a lot to unpack there. We'll start at the end. He's listened. I'm sure he gets to say, like, I've listened to it all and I know what's happening. But he also says, I'm not informed on all of it. And so he just pulled out the word Biden's.
Yes.
And that's it.
Well, I like the fear in his eyes when Emma asked the very bold question, why? Why do you think that? Also, like, the three-dimensional chess is just dementia, folks. That's all it is. There's no dimensions. Dementia.
Dimensional chess.
Three-dimensional chess is what Trump is playing. That's all it is. And yes, those are backwards clown glasses on my hat. Thank you.
The idea, like, the logic in that guy's argument is like, yeah, I committed the murder and the robbery so that you could find out more about the police. It's like,
I
what?
Framed myself. So I killed a guy and put his blood on me so you would think I killed a guy, but I didn't.
The admission that he appears to be corrupt. Yeah. What's the difference between appearing to be corrupt? Yeah, the
Listen,
evidence
you
might
go
make
through
it appear
all
like
the motions
did it.
To be corrupt. But you're not actually corrupt. you got to do a certain amount of corruption to appear corrupt.
It's so good. Then here's the next clip where there's a man from the 3%er militia, I believe, who this is kind of terrifying. But that I think it's the specific. We'll talk about it more about what brand of terrifying it is. But here he is talking about the coming civil war.
The thing starts here, and we have a civil war. People are gonna have to pick what side you're on. Me, I want our country to stay the way it is. I want it to be free. I want my children to grow up in a free country. I want them to be able to think for themselves and not be force-fed the information they put in schools. I don't want them on their knees waving at Allah. I mean, we're America.
So I'm just following his logic. In America, there are no Muslims. And you will somehow be forced to pray to Allah.
In his America, by the way, for people who are just listening, everyone should have red, white, and blue beads in their beard, all right? This dude is like at a white supremacist Coachella right now. Yeah. He's just like living it up.
You can't spell beards without beads.
Beads and beards, they go together. Oh, wow.
Good for him.
I feel like the only question that comes next is, who put those beads in your beard?
I can't say anything.
Beads in your beard.
Bees beards. I don't know. He did. He had a moment this morning. But like this is what's left, Brett, though.
This is, I'm sorry. Like,
no.
This is what's left after the impeachment hearings. I mean, I think this is my belief. I know we always talk about the base and how the base will never be shaken. I think the base is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And crazier and crazier and crazier. And so the whole structure is teetering, as when it happens, you have a small little base on anything. But these are the guys who are left. These are the crazies who are like, Sharia law is coming for us. And they're, guess what? They're even more violent and they're scarier and scarier. And again, I think from now until November of next year, Trump rallies are going to look more and more like Klan rallies. I'm just gonna put it, like, I'm just saying that. Like, they are going to be crazier. He's gonna say crazier things. He's gonna incite people to more violence. And I don't know what our response to that can be and should be.
I don't know.
Other than restating the facts, but I do think that, anyway, I think he's losing base. I think that folks, the silent majority who came out to vote for him, who were like, he said racist things, but it's not his heart. I think some of those people are saying, let's maybe not go with him this time around.
I mean, I think, I would just say that I think they would maybe stay home. Yeah, like they wouldn't vote for someone else. Like, I know there's someone I know in Florida who voted for Trump last time and literally just goes, my portfolio is fine. My stock portfolio is fine.
And that's great. Let's have them stay home. I think that's what's important. Whoever gets people out to the polls is gonna win.
I just don't know if I can follow, if I can sign on to your logic about the base being crazy as evidenced by this next video. This guy seems totally normal.
The reason why I really am here is for this. Donald Trump Jr. for president 2024 to 2032 to keep the Trump train rolling. put this on TV and you'll see millions of Democrats' head explode.
Well, what would you say to people saying that we're not a monarchy? We should be democratically electing people, well, not of the same family.
Two Bushes that got elected, so I have no problem that two family members from the Bush, from the Trump family can get elected.
Is that meritocracy, though?
He is the only one that would be able to deal with the media on a full-time basis like his dad is doing.
Not so Eric or Ivanka?
No, Ivanka does not have the ability to fight off what would have to be fought off. But Trump Jr. can. Oh. Go Jr.!
Oh.
Go Jr.
I made this helmet myself.
Well, if you want more information about the helmet, we actually have some backstory. Emma kept talking to that guy.
I comprise, you get no bull with Trump. Put the horns on the helmet, put the bull on the top with the line through it, and my picture was actually taken and put in the Sun Sentinel from 2012. So I am truly an original Trumper.
Amazing. Do you get that you look like Satan with the horns at all?
No Satan's. Actually, these are bull horns from Texas that I imported.
Emma can put up with a lot. As we said in the intro of the show, but like at that point, she's like, I gotta say this one.
I just wonder at what point making fun of Trump supporters is ableist. Like, seriously, though, like I don't know if we're allowed to anymore, or if this is like making fun of special needs kids.
I think he voluntarily does it. The best part is he has a no bull hat on, but bull horns.
Dressed as a bull, no bull. He's pro and anti himself. It's unclear.
I don't know. For clarity, maybe if you watch the entire videos on Rebel HQ, youtube.com or facebook.com/RebelHQ, it's amazing. Emma, I don't know how you do it. Also, Emma will be in town next week, and I think she will be on the damage report. So we can ask her ourselves then. Don't go away, Papa John's around the corner. Be best, says Melania Trump, and she took to the road with her Be Best tour, going to a Baltimore area school on Tuesday, where she, according to a tweet, Melania Trump was just booed for nearly a minute at an opioid event in Baltimore. After being met by a chorus of boos, talking and sporadic booing continued during her address. What might that look like? Let's take a look ourselves.
It is my pleasure to introduce to you the First Lady of the United States of America.
As Edwin said, it's not Be Best, it's Be Booed. And it continued. She said, so she got booed. I was listening to Don Lemon's show. There was someone in for him, and we all know how that goes. They were like, is this mean that civility is dead in America?
Yes, this is always the conversation that moderates have. The other side is straight up like setting fire to their own house.
Yes.
And anytime there's protest, or like Kirstjen Nielsen wants to go eat Mexican food after putting a bunch of Mexican children in cages.
Yeah.
That somehow we're supposed to keep it in line.
Also, it's high school and middle school kids.
Yeah.
They are. I remember
they
booed
boo everyone who comes onto that stage, man.
What science? Boo. English test? Go home, and
especially someone who's gonna tell them about like opioid addiction, like, oh, we're all on Xannies, just kidding.
But it's like it could be anything. And it's like, I have to be here. I've been told ostensibly to go and show up and listen to all this.
Yeah, nobody hates assemblies.
And you're gonna you're going to blame the booing on the death of civility as inspired by the left when, I mean, we have a photo of Melania Trump and a jacket that she wore. I really don't care, do you? And then her husband, if we forget that he said this about Baltimore and Elijah Cummings, his district is considered the worst in the USA. It is a disgusting rat and rodent infested mess and a very dangerous and filthy place, he said about this area.
We don't even have to go, we could go to like, you know, pipe bombs being set outside of, you know, senators and congressmen's doorsteps. Like those kinds of violence that Trump and the right wing have inspired in the last few years, from anti-Semitic violence, Islamophobic violence, violence against black people, like white supremacist violence, it's no comparison. So what's a little bit of a boo? So what's protesting someone as they're, you know, eating? Like, no, you don't get to be seen in public. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I almost spilled coffee on Tommy Lahren's book in an airport, and I didn't, and I hate myself every day.
You thought about it.
I mean, it was right next to Jeanine Pirro's.
Right, in that section, in the hate section.
Yes, in the hate section. The hate you know when you want some light hate reading on the plane?
Just thumb through it. Oh my God. All right, we're gonna move on to Papa John really quick. Papa John is still alive, and he is not happy that he is no longer involved in the Papa John's franchise. He did an interview with WDRB talking about it. He said the following, and it was just amazing. I've had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days, and it's not the same pizza. It's not the same product. It just doesn't taste as good. And that was just the beginning, but I love the idea of like, listen, take me seriously. I ate 40 pizzas in 30 days.
Were those his final words?
Those were the last words.
Those were his last words, right?
There's an amazing thing.
Beep, beep. I just hear the hospital.
What cause of death? Well, I guess it's 40 pizzas in 30 days.
They just don't make them like they used to.
So he was forced out as chairman of the board. He said some stuff about it with the NFL's handling, got sent out of his job as CEO. And then he said he admitted to using the N-word during an internal conference call on diversity training. But he said that he did it to convey his hatred of racism and was quoting another famous founder. just so you know that quote, it was Colonel Sanders called blacks N-words and Sanders never faced public outcry. Colonel Sanders. That was a long time ago. And just because he didn't face public outcry, that doesn't mean no one should face public outcry.
Oh, man. I don't think we can ever eat fast food chicken. Yeah. All the chicken's bad. When is someone going to make like a woke chicken, just any chicken product?
Come on, Popeye. He fought.
Yeah. They have the sandwich, right?
If you can get it. People have been killed for it.
Right.
I just want to put out this last image for you of Papa John. I feel so sorry for him. Let's take a look at his house, please. His house in Kentucky, which Mitt Romney was quite impressed by. Essentially, just if we can't pull it up, imagine, there it is. Whoa. It's a sprawling $700 million home or something like that. And it's like, it's got a moat that he built and there's a train. So I'm sure he's not doing
Papi
too bad.
Juan.
Yeah. Anyways, good job for you, Papa John. He said the day of reckoning is gonna come, and I think that's just when he finally clears the blockage of all that cheese. All right, don't go away. We got one last story for you, and it's a doozy about Devin Nunes's cow. Devin Nunes. Take him seriously. He is not just the main representative and the one who gives the opening statements from the Republican side during the impeachment hearings, where he says stuff like this. Putting this farce in our court provides two main advantages for the Democrats. He always talks about what a farce the impeachment hearings are. You would almost forget that he has his own farcical court battles himself, where he is suing a cow on Twitter. As well as a fictional version of his own mom. And there's been a court filing in Sacramento, as reported in his district, as reported by the Sacramento Bee. A Democratic strategist is refusing to disclose communications that could reveal the identity of the anonymous Twitter users who criticized Representative Devin Nunes, arguing in a new court filing that the accounts are clearly satirical expressions of political speech. This going to the guy on the right who probably always talks about free speech. In a new filing to quash the subpoena, the attorney argues that the Twitter account's language, quote, does not constitute defamation and that courts are tasked with protecting anonymous communications in the interest of freedom of speech. Now, here is the amazing part.
Yeah.
The wording in this court filing is absolutely everything. The way that you have to communicate in a court filing versus like person to person, I do think that the lawyer had some fun with this. Writing, no reasonable person would believe that Devin Nunes Cow actually has a Twitter account, or that the hyperbole, satire, and cow-related jokes it posts are serious facts. It is self-evident that cows are domesticated livestock animals and do not have the intelligence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. Cows are domesticated livestock animals and do not have the intelligence, language, or opposable digits needed to complete the rest of that court filing.
Or opposable digits needed to operate a Twitter account. Devin Nunes' mom likewise posts satirical, patronizing, nagging, mothering comments, which ostensibly treat Mr. Nunes as a misbehaving child.
My question is, will Devin Nunes' actual mom have to appear in court and be like, how does one Twitter?
They're like, it's like a hostage video of his mom holding up today's newspaper for like 24 hours. Be like, here's the video of that happening, and here's a tweet from that same time. It was not Devin Nunes' mom doing it. There's like, what else would he bring in court? Would he bring the Chick-fil-A cows to be like, some of them can write?
Yeah, some. See? They made this sign.
Yeah, eat more chicken. That's how, and or the response is like, that's not how cows write.
Or he'll bring in like a picture of the president and be like, you say cows don't have opposable thumbs? Counterpoint.
He just
has. Picture of the president. A cow who can tweet.
I love that we have cow B-roll. I do want to read like a-
I feel like you probably did that.
Yeah, that's true. Probably.
Oh, that's
from Pixabay.
Pretty one.
Everyone go to pixabay.com if you want random ass videos and livestock images. I just want to point this out because it gets lost in like who from the Republican side has gravitated toward the nonsense. Who is like most reasonable people who are in Congress are doing like the Mitch McConnell thing where they're like, I'm going to sit this one out until I actually have to say something versus the Jim Jordans and the Devin Nunes's who are like, I'll do it. I have no pride. Like, here's a quote. This is how Devin Nunes opens every impeachment hearing. He opens it with something like this. Welcome back to the circus, ladies and gentlemen. We are here to continue what Democrats tell us is a serious, somber, and even prayerful process of attempting to overthrow a duly elected president. This guy has no respect whatsoever for the legal system.
No.
Because he clogs it up by suing a cow. Mm-hmm. By suing a non-existent cow.
I don't know. Maybe that's like a really like deep cut where he's from in like Tulare County. Is that, I don't know. Like, let us know. Is that like when you call someone a cow or you impersonate a cow? Is that like, hey, nobody impersonates a cow here in the Central Valley?
Yeah, I don't know.
Central Valley of California. Maybe people are really sensitive about that.
We've driven up and down many times. We go through
tip
that area.
Them.
We tip the cat. They,
we don't impersonate them. I mean, if he were claiming like some religious grounds, like some Hindu, like sacred, you know, cowdom, but that I'd believe.
No, now he just wants to clog up the legal system with talks of this. And that's like everything that he starts out. He should say, listen, I'm suing a cow now about the sanctity of our legal process. Okay. And then Jim Jordan, it's like, hey, I'm embroiled in a decades long cover up. At a crisis at the Ohio State University wrestling team. Now about your integrity.
Like, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I really wish Adam Schiff could just be like, so, excuse me, like House or intelligence community minority leader, Devin Nunes, like, who are you suing right now?
For the record, can you speak into the microphone?
Yeah. Who are you suing? A cow? Cool. Fake a cow account? Oh, not a real cow. A fake cow. This is a Twitter account. Great. No, let the record show.
So ridiculous. That's all the time we have just about. Where can people find you?
Find me at Franny Fio on Twitter. and Instagram. Follow me.
Fantastic.
And I hope to be back here with you or John.
Catch up on News Brokes.
Yes.
This last season.
Yes. Thank you.
Fantastic. And then catch up on Happy Half Hour. And to John, listen, marriage is a mistake, but I'm sure you'll make the least mistakey version of it this weekend. And I'm still waiting for my invite to the wedding. What the hell? Just kidding.
I'm invited.
I know, I'm invited too. I wasn't invited to Anna's wedding, but that's another story. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.